Hello, and welcome to a special edition of Millennium Grown Broadcast Network. My name is Wendy Turner, and I'll be your host tonight. We here at Millennium Grown are really excited to talk to our guests tonight. Some of you know that this weekend is the Cannibal Run, and it's going on for quite a while, actually. But it is stopping in Aurora this weekend. And its efforts are to raise awareness for cannabis efficacy in our veterans with PTSD and TBI. And tonight, we're really excited to talk to Sean Kiernan and Zachary Victor from Green Tech Industries. I've been calling you Doc for like the last couple of hours. So it's really hard to say your name.
Everybody calls me Doc.
That's awesome. Well, tonight I'm going to call you Doc if that's easier.
That's beautiful.
Okay. Well, first let's go ahead and start with Sean, because I know he's kind of limited on time, and he's got so much to do. So, Sean, I was going to like prelude with what's going on with Cannibal Run, but I'll let you do that. But one of the things that I would like to know is if you could explain to me your journey that led you into using cannabis so our viewers and our listeners can kind of understand why you're on this path.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, in 2006 or 7, I was in New York City with my family working for Caxton Associates, which was one of the largest hedge funds in the world. And my wife was having very bad migraines, I mean, debilitating migraines. And what ended occurring was she would go from specialist to specialist to specialist in New York. And what was happening is they were giving her pharmaceuticals that had very adverse side effects. And so she would have depression. She would have, you know, just you list the name of side effects. They were there to the point that, yeah, the headache's a little better, but I like the side effects. I dislike the side effects even worse. So what ended up happening is that a friend who was a very well-known Wall Street portfolio manager say, why don't have you guys tried cannabis? And I said, well, we're in his office. And I said, well, last time I smoked was in high school and I didn't do anything. And, you know, obviously now,
that's a pretty bad stuff. And, I did not only took one or two hits. I was like, this is nothing special. So literally what ends up happening, my wife agrees that she just had her with head to try cannabis, but you said, I want you to do it with.
It seems like we're having some technical difficulty. Wendy, can you hear him?
I can barely hear him.
Hello?
Are you there?
Doc, are you there?
I'm here.
I'm here.
Okay. All
can
right.
you hear me?
Yeah, we can. Now you're muted there for just a little bit. Just muffled.
No problem. So. No problem. Accident. So, you know, basically what ends up happening is we try it together, and both of us absolutely thought it was the greatest thing ever. And
you're off again.
Sean, are you there? I know Sean said that he can only be here for like 10 or 15
I'm
minutes.
Here.
Sean,
I'm here. Are you here?
Why don't you?
Yeah.
You step in?
Hello?
Go ahead, Sean. Can you
okay.
hear?
So, yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're cutting in and out just a little bit. So,
I apologize.
When I can't hear you, I'll stop.
I apologize.
Oh, it's no big deal.
So
you were in New York. You tried some cannabis.
In New York,
you all liked it.
We literally, yeah. So that's how I got into it. And then, in terms of using it for medicinal purposes, it was actually through my wife. And through the recommendation of a very successful, basically, hedge fund manager, which is ironic because it was anything but his, you know, he's anything but the typical, stereotypical stoner. So that's mm-hmm. how I got involved. That answers your question.
Awesome. Yeah, that does answer my question. When did you decide that this was good for your PTSD?
Correct. So basically in 2008, I was diagnosed. Well, then in 2007, 2008, I was diagnosed with PTSD, and I started beginning the regimen of pharmaceuticals from mood stabilizers to psychotropes
to ADD meds, where I was taking a cocktail of pharmaceuticals, and they made things absolutely worse. And then I started to self-medicate, not only with cannabis, but many other drugs. Specifically, I started to use ketamine, which is, you know, is very well known for its antidepressive effects. But that's not a solution. And so what ends up happening is, through the well-documented on CNN, through my suicide attempt in 2011, post that is when I started to deal with my issues in a serious way and came upon cannabis solely and started to wean off the pharmaceuticals. And it wasn't a straight wean off. I mean, I had ups and downs, successes and failures with regards to, you know, removing myself from the self-medication. But it was about 2012 and then into 2013, I had a 5150 episode, which I've talked about, I believe, on the show before, where, for those listeners who haven't heard it, is where you get held without your, you know, desire at the VA in San Diego for involuntary observation. They call it 5150. It's a very common thing with veterans. It's overused. It's supposed to only be used for if there's an imminent threat to the life of the person or he's a threat to someone else. And that's not the criteria they use at the VA. Basically, they hold you because of CYA, better to hold you and let you go than a thing. And that whole thing opened my eyes to what's going on to the veterans, and specifically a lot of the Iraq and Afghanistan veterans who were coming back from multiple tours. And I saw with my own eyes in the VA, living with these guys, them be over-medicated. And so that's effectively how I started to open my eyes to caring and getting involved. And soon after that, I got involved with Dr. Sicily, went solely to cannabis because quite a few of these guys were getting weaned off their pharmaceuticals and trying cannabis, and it was working. And so that's basically how I got into the movement, but also started specifically focusing on cannabis only for myself. And it really was through seeing other vets. And that's probably been the most helpful thing for me, is to talk and see other vets and realize that my story is not unique. That all these vets are being over-medicated. They're being over-medicated to the point of being zombies. And, you know, I said, we can't sit here and watch this. And so I started working with Dr. Sicily. And then once we got the wonderful state of Colorado, to give money to fund her study, I teamed up with Kevin Richardson, the founder of the Weed for Warriors Project. And we've been fighting for access to cannabis for veterans.
That's amazing. I remember that day. That we were all there at the PTSD and Grant hearing.
Correct.
And that's where we first met.
Yes.
And that was an amazing day for both of our families, of, you know, the veterans for the PTSD.
I remember, I believe it was your daughter, if my memory serves me correct, and my daughter said the same thing, so it stayed with me, but it was that cannabis had given her brother back.
Yeah.
And my daughter has said the same thing about her dad. She said, cannabis is giving me my dad back. And, you know, we're going across this country. We stopped in L.A., Vegas, and now in Colorado. And I can tell you, we spent all day talking to vets. We arrived in Grand Junction the other night, and literally at midnight at a Denny's, we had 15 people around our table. We talked for an hour, and they were all vets. And we were talking about these stories. And it's not just one anecdotal example. Veteran after veteran after veteran from Iraq, Afghanistan, places around this world, Vietnam, they have always been using cannabis to alleviate the symptoms of PTSD. And so, you know, at some point we have to question what's going on with the system. And so I think that's what this tour is about. It's raising awareness about the issues, but raising awareness about the solutions that government's foisting upon these veterans against their will, and trying to prohibit them through coercion to not use cannabis. And it's truly disgusting, especially given the suicide epidemic. You know, I come from Wall Street. If a CEO doesn't perform, they're fired. Well, with all due respect, the VA is not only not performed, it's a danger to veterans, especially in the behavioral science area. And so at some point, we have to hold these people accountable. We have to hold the system accountable. And we're only going to do that by, you know, using this great democratic process we have in this country to vote out those people who are beholden to the special interest and to vote people in who have compassion, not only for veterans, but children like your son, and also, you know, sexual assault victims, domestic assault victims, anyone who's been in an abusive relationship, we all suffer from PTSD together. It's not unique to veterans.
It's not, but I think that because you guys are such warriors and you have gone to battle for our freedom once already, this is what you do. And I am so proud to be, you know, a part of it and to support you guys, because it's, you are just killing it on the battlefield. It's just great to see how much support and how much knowledge is being put into this situation. And I'm just really, really proud to be part of it.
I was at breakfast today with a wonderful man, and Daniel Brinkley, who is the founder and CEO of the Twilight Brigade. And he has, I think the number is, sat by the bedsides of over 32,000 dying vets. He goes into VAs across this country with his organization, himself personally, and sits at the bedside of these dying vets so they have someone there. So many of them don't have family or friends. He's been doing it for a long, long time. And, you know, he it was a great call because he said something to the extent what you touched upon at the end. He goes, if you guys hadn't showed up, I'd have nothing to fight for. And so I think that, you know, on the face of it, and it started with Dr. Sue, and when Sue was terminated from the University of Arizona, it got so much, just on the face of it, it was so unjust. It left a bad taste in everyone's mouth. And I think that's the same thing with what's going on here, which is, wait, you're willing to ply these veterans full of opiates that are addictive in Delhi. You're willing to put basically synthetic speed in their mouth with their ADD meds, Adderall. You're willing to give them mood stabilizers that destroy livers and have all these negative side effects. You're willing to give them Seroquel that causes nightmares. And these are 20, 24 pills these guys are taking a day. And then you get upset if they just say, no, I don't want that. I just want to smoke a little cannabis or take an edible or vaporize. It defies logic. It defies logic. I mean, it's like we're speaking truth to power. And exposing the corruption, and it is corruption, is something that people don't like. And I think we as Americans are fed up with so many things that I think people are rallying around something that they tangibly understand and can relate to. Because you know what? We've been in wars for so long in this country. Everyone has a father, a mother, a brother, a sister, a cousin, a son or a daughter who served in the military. So I think there's a lot of we can relate. And I think when I met your son and I meet you, we can relate because there's illnesses that for-profit pharmaceuticals are not addressing. And, in fact, they're inhibiting a lot of potential solutions. And the fact that we can band together and share a common cause just makes us that much more powerful.
I agree with that. And it's been a great journey that we've all been on. And I do think that this is our time. You know, we sat and watched our families, our grandparents and our fathers and mothers go through the Vietnam era and come out of it. I mean, with just as bad as PTSD that you guys have, you know, we're repeating history again. And let's not give you guys, our newest generation, our younger guys, all these pharmaceuticals that are killing your livers and doing all these horrible side effects to you guys. That's when Vietnam veterans were fighting for this plant. We should have listened, or they should have listened. I mean, we were just kids, but, you know,
Well, the problem is they don't want to listen because all they care about is the profits. And unfortunately, one of the side effects of what we have right now in this country is money is all that matters in terms of legislation and power. And so it doesn't have to be that way, but it's going to take a responsibility we all have to share, and that is educate ourselves, speak up, and participate in the system. That's not what they want. They don't want that.
I have to interject. Yes, you're right. It's going to have to absolutely take a revolution, and that's what this is. And this is me signing out, because after listening to you guys, I couldn't help but say, I've got to say something. I've got to do something. And so I had to be like unmute and go, that's right. Dadgummit, everybody listening, everybody that cares, everybody that has a veteran, everybody that has somebody that could benefit, all you got to do is do something. Everybody's like, oh, what can we do? You got to do something. And so I'm out, but I'm going to say thank you for making me be like, I'm not even going to be quiet. I'm going to go, we've got to do something. So I'm out.
Well,
I'm out. And thank you, Doc and Sean and Wendy. God, you guys are amazing. I'm out. Thank you. Do something.
Well, you know, it's funny, and I'm going to wrap up here, and you got a wonderful person, Doc, on board to talk to. But, you know, we got to head over to Denver Secret Sesh at the Cannabis Radio. We're going to go over there and participate in that and spread the word. So I'm going to head out here soon. But to your point, I mean, we need the younger generation. If the millennials show up to vote in 2016, we will win across this country. And that's what we need.
Absolutely.
And what we need is, and so let me give it, we have an American Veterans Demand Change Indiegogo campaign going on right now. Just give $3. You can give the cost of a Starbucks campaign. You go on Indiegogo, type America's Veterans Demand Change, give $3 or whatever you want. Second, we're going to Washington, D.C. The 10th of November, we will be sleeping on the National Mall. We have a permit. And then on the 11th, we're going to march all the way from Ben Franklin Park to the VA to the White House. And what I would love to see is as many veterans and their supporters show up for this. It doesn't take cost you any money. Show up, enjoy company, enjoy music, and that's what we're on our way back. So after this, we head to Phoenix. We're going to do a wonderful expo. Then we're off to Nashville, then Charlottesville, Philly, and Washington, D.C., and Doc can fill in any place because it's changing as we speak because we're trying to hit places last minute to help support veterans, especially in areas where states where it's illegal. And I think that wraps me up because I got to run. But I want to just say something. Can I say something about Doc? Because you got a wonderful guy here. So Doc is part. He's a director with the Weed for Warriors Project. He's also an industry specialist. He's, you know, out in California. And he also works for Green Tech Industries. That CEO is Donnie Anderson, who they have shown nothing but love for the Weed for Warriors Project. Very supportive. And they're doing it because they care about vets. Doc's brother's a vet. And what I love about this industry, what I love about this industry is these people care. And they're, and unlike every other industry where they want to know what they get from it, we're getting open arms here in Denver and across this country of people coming to us and saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. My dad's a vet. My brother's a vet. My sister's a vet. And, you know, we're going to, it's just empowering us to push further. So, Doc, you know, spread the word, and I'm going to jump, okay, guys?
All right, love you, Sean.
Sean, I just want to say thank you so much for your service, not only on the battlefield, but on our American cannabis battlefield right now. What you do and what you've done for everyone is commendable, and I really appreciate your work.
Well, and just one comment on that. I was never on the battlefield. I was thinking I was in the club most of the time. But in all seriousness, we all lost some friends. I'm lucky to be back here alive, you know, physically okay. And make no mistake about it. You said this is the cannabis battlefield. I'll give you an example. Today, I got an email and a voicemail from Coronado High School in Nevada, Las Vegas, where my son goes to school. He's a straight-A student, honor AP student. And they said, we are going to your analysis, your son. And so you have a high school student who was, quote, randomly selected. We know it wasn't random. We know that. They're targeting the kids. And the fact that he was targeted because of his dad's political activities is truly disgusting. And that happened at Coronado High School in Henderson, Nevada. And the fact that we can have that invasion of privacy because they found a loophole. You can't test high school students, but if they participate in extracurricular activities like football or baseball where my son starts, or they park their car on campus, they're legally allowed to drug test them. So what we have here is the prohibitionists and the people who want to stamp out marijuana at all costs, even though they haven't been successful, violating a children's constitutional rights to object to an unreasonable search of his bodily fluids. It's absolutely disgusting in the name of the drug war. And that is why I'm standing up and why my family's standing up, but make no mistake about it. They're not going to go easy.
Absolutely. I'm behind you 100%
guys.
On that fight.
Take care, Doc.
We will talk
Take
this
ass.
Weekend, and I'll see
okay.
you soon, Sean. Thanks so much.
Thanks for all your support.
No problem. It's my pleasure. Okay, well, before I introduce Doc and before we start getting into what he has been doing, I just want to give a little bit of a shout-out to the Cannonball Run team and give some information. The Cannonball Run is coming to Aurora this weekend, and they're going to have a cannabis-infused cook-off between Chef Joey Galliano from Magical Butter And Christopher Chef Nugs, Kavanaugh, is it Kavanaugh?
Kavanaugh.
From Hollywood. Yeah, Kavanaugh. The contest will be hosted on Saturday, October 24th by Cannabis Network Radio and Sirius XM 420. And we will also be there broadcasting live. The panel of judges include popular cannabis industry personalities as well as members from the veterans community. I was asked today to be one of those judges, and I'm so, so excited. I love Joey's cooking, and I know that this Chef Nugs can pull some out, so I'm kind of excited for it. We also have speakers sharing their experience with war trauma and how cannabis therapy has helped them. Attorney Robert Hoban of Hoban and Fiola LLC, the law firm challenging Colorado on their decision to exclude PTSD as a qualifying condition for medical cannabis, will be a featured speaker. And, you know, just to reiterate, the Cannibal Run, Magical Butter, Weed for Warriors project, they are really pushing for raising awareness for public access and any access, really, for cannabis use, for PTSD, TBIs, and mainly for the veterans. But and just like I said earlier, just because you're a veteran and you're fighting this war doesn't mean that they're leaving us little people out. Like Sean said, my son testified for the PTSD research grant in Colorado, and he has never, ever been without support. We support the veterans support us, and like I said, this is a new battlefield for our veterans, and we really need to come out in full force and back them. And I'm just really excited that, Doc, you have put together such a great foundation. And I want you to tell us a little bit about that and kind of go into your story and why you decided to do all this.
Well, thank you. I've been in the California cannabis industry now about 10 years, but I've never really had a real job other than working within cannabis. And I've known Kevin Richardson, the founder of the Weed for Warriors Project, through events and social media and things like that, and we hooked up a few times. And I was filming the pilot episode of a television show that we have. It's a cannabis television show called The Collective. It's kind of like a Shark Tank show for cannabis business ventures, and I had invited Sean and Kevin down while I had cameras to do public service announcements and things like that that we're doing for our movements in legalization here in California. And that's when Kevin and Sean explained to me what they were doing with the tour. This was, early August. And it really touched me because I have a younger brother that suffers gravely with post-traumatic stress and many other injuries. And, these guys go away, and they go away for a year, and you're there when they go, and you're there when they come back, and it's just not the same person anymore. My little brother is not the same guy that I used to know. And I see the confusion on his face when he's dealing with this anger and all this stuff. And I've just always been very confused as how I could help him. And I go through the whole cycles of, why are you acting this way? And then getting angry about it or sad about it. And I just would always land on the I can't help him spot on the game board, when Kevin and Sean told me about this tour to raise awareness, it just shot in my head, like, this is something I can do to help him. I know the cannabis industry really well. I've got a lot of contacts within there. I have a lot of contacts with you know, production and media, let's do it. And we just made a knee-jerk reaction that we're going to stop all efforts and our other productions we were doing and just focus 100% on this tour. And it's been a real journey so far. And I've gotten to know the vets a lot better and gotten to understand, you know, their day-to-day and what they deal with a lot more than I ever imagined that I would through planning this tour, helping them raise funds, helping them do mixers, and then obviously producing the entire thing. So it's been really, really eye-opening and wonderful experience thus far.
That's awesome, and I'm really glad that you're supporting our vets and this effort. So you know, people ask me all the time how when Colton got sick, how it made me feel, and you know, it's heart-wrenching to see somebody that you love go through this pain and agony, and you not be able to do anything. Kind of take me through that journey. You know, when you first saw your brother again after all of this, you know, what did that make you feel?
You know, when he first came back, it was not that noticeable because I think he was a little overwhelmed with, you know, he had a baby, you know, a young wife, you know, and there was just a lot of excitement there, so it just didn't really trigger, and I was only there that day. When he then came to visit my family and brought his family and stayed with us for a week, I would see it. And it began with, like, you know, him screaming in the night and, you know, me not understanding what was going on there, or, like, you know, just brain glitches. I remember he was in the car and, like, you know, just fumbling with the keys, and it just made me so confused, and that confusion would manifest into anger, or I don't want to say anger, but, you know, where I would feel like I was actually kind of yelling at him, like, what's wrong with you? You know, snap out of it. What's wrong with you? And then when that day came that I had that realization that he can't control this, and he doesn't even know what the heck is going on. And it just gave me the feeling of, I can't even describe it. I just so hopeless and so helpless that I immediately wanted to, you know, being what I do for a living, I wanted to stuff him full of as many cannabinoids as I possibly could. And he can't. You know, he can't. I know something that'll help him, and he can't even take it because, you know, fear of... My brother's still enlisted. He actually just got his orders to be medically med boarded out of the military. He'll be out on January 1st, thank God.
Wow.
And then, you know, now I feel like I can actually help him. But there's no words that can describe that feeling. When you love somebody so much and there's nothing you can do because of laws that prohibit you. And, you know, PTSD is a really horrible thing.
It is. It is. And I can't imagine the pain that you guys go through seeing him the way he is. And I feel hopeful, though, that he, you know, January 1st, he gets to start his cannabis journey and journey to healing, and that's just so exciting. And I know that it's a horrible thing that we have to go through. But like I tell my son all the time, you know, he has Crohn's disease, and I say, these are your cards that you were dealt. Now it's time to play. And, you know, he's going to have such a great game board, you know, and some really good opportunities now that we know that cannabis helps PTSD, and he's not going to have to be on all those horrible pharmaceuticals anymore, and not have to worry about, you know, is he going to lose his job because he is a cannabis user? You know, we're getting there, and I'm excited for him that he's going to be able to come out and use cannabis. And you know, you have a great opportunity to help him, which and a great platform. So kind of tell us about Green Tech Industries and how you got involved in the cannabis industry.
Oh, that's a mouthful. Green Tech Industries is basically a holdings company for a magnitude of different brands within the cannabis space. We have Calyx Marketing underneath it, and that does, you know, really professional packaging of pre-rolls for one line called Jay's Pre-Rolls. Those are really cool, and those guys were kind enough to make some really cool co-branded packs of Jay's for the veterans on tour and everywhere. And then we also have an application that I can't really discuss because we haven't released it yet, but a really cool application that's going to really change user experience for, you know, cannabis users of all ages. And then, you know, we have a production, we have a manufacturing division that creates metal ancillary products for the cannabis industry. We also have critical extractors in the works to be manufactured right here in California. We also are partners in the nation's broadest scope of ISO-accredited lab testing, which is CannaSafe Analytics. They're the first ever cannabis lab to become ISO-accredited, which is very important, and a lot of people don't understand that. The transparency of an ISO.
Explain that to us, why ISO is so important.
Right now, at least in California, and there's no true integrity of a lab test because there's no governing body that requires the tests to be accurate. I mean, literally, someone could just print out a piece of paper and show it to a parent or an elderly person, and they're just, you know, you're supposed to. It says it there. It says what's in it. It's from a lab. So it's got to be the truth, and it's just you know, that I don't buy it. And so what CannaSafe did is they set out to be transparent and to have something to stand back on, and that was an ISO 17025 IEC accreditation, which is the same standard that, you know, any other industry in America with a lab testing agent would you know, be held to. And that's very hard to do in cannabis because, you know, if you were a testing lab that tests corn, well, there's plenty of published methodology to satisfy ISO standards of testing corn. But for cannabis, we have no published methodology, so you have to develop your own. And that's why I really... CannaSafe was one of the first acquisitions that I helped on with Green Tech Industries, and I felt so strongly about it because you can actually trust the lab test, and I'm just really proud to work with that company because I think they're going to change you know, the entire country outlook on testing, and we've seen it because a lot of the laws that are being passed are actually requiring for ISO-accredited labs to test cannabis. And there's very few ISO-accredited labs. And of those few, there's only one that has a, you know, very broad scope in cannabis for microbial, pesticides, residual solvents, you know. And and CannaSafe is those guys. So Green Tech Industries basically offers assistance to all these companies, and and it's actually partnered by two really wonderful guys, one being which Donnie Anderson. He's the former executive vice president of MCA Records, and another gentleman named DJ Pooh, who, you know, he wrote Friday and The Wash and Third Strike and the Grand Theft Auto video games. He was LL Cool J's DJ, and he's just a West Coast icon. So those guys really helped me with the creative, and I helped them with the areas that you need a cannabis subject matter specialist, and we've been right. very successful.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I appreciate what you're doing, because here in Colorado, testing is very up and down. There is no real standard to it, and this is a real issue. We testified for testing to make sure that medical did have testing here in Colorado, because medical cannabis was not required to test. Now, recreational cannabis was required to test, and that didn't make any sense. So my son goes up there and he says, "Hey, listen, you know, this is my medicine. I want to know what's in it. And if I have an autoimmune disorder, and if there's one little bitty thing in there that can cause me to go into a flare, I want to know about it. And I want to make sure that I'm not taking that type of medicine." So I think testing is just so, so important on our cannabis, to make sure that we are getting something that is clean and non-toxic and non-harmful to everyone that is taking. And that is, you know, especially our kids. You know, I have a kid that's sick, so I don't want him to have to go through that. So I applaud you for that, and I, you know.
And you never want to know that the, you know, like the lab's testing the cannabis. Who's testing the lab? You know,
right.
we need to know. We need these labs to have integrity, and the only way that I know in the scientific community to have integrity in lab testing is to have accreditations.
Exactly. And, you know, and some standards. One of the things that we have a problem with in Colorado is that you can take it to one lab and you're going to have, you know, 15 milligrams of CBD or 15 grams or whatever. And then you take it to another lab and it's going to be, you know, CBN, and it's a totally different profile. So we
absolutely
need standards. We need that. I mean, this is not something that is, oh, well, you know, who cares? We need that. This is really, really important. And, you know, as the industry gets bigger and the public starts understanding cannabis a little bit more, I'm hoping that we can have already prepared those standards and
well,
get it
we
out
are.
There.
We are.
Good.
And that's why, you know, I've been working with marijuana for 20 years now. And you asked me earlier how I got in the industry. Like everybody else does, I was growing. And I went from growing to, you know, operating dispensaries and delivery services, to manufacturing products, to distributing products, to consulting people on products, and eventually landed on consulting investors on where they should put their money in this space, because I've always been kind of a forward thinker. And every time I've jumped from one section to the next of the cannabis industry, it's always been because I felt, oh, they're not doing the dispensaries right. I'm going to go in there and do it right. Oh, they're not doing the manufacturing right. I'm going to go in there and do it right. They're not extracting right. I'm going to go in there and do it right. It's always just been an effort to better the industry and legitimize the industry, because I really believe in them. And at the time I came upon CannaSafe Analytics, I had no faith in lab testing for the exact reasons that you just described. I'd send it to, you know, there's three maiden labs in California, SC, Steep Hill, and at the time it was the Workshop, and I'd get three completely different results on the same material.
Pack.
Right. And it's just like, how would somebody effectively medicate a child or sick people with a crapshoot? And CannaSafe was able to open my eyes to a different way of testing and a transparent result that, you know, might not satisfy a dispensary owner who's looking for the highest percentage of THC or something like that for their Weed Maps menu, but it definitely satisfies me who's looking to help some people.
Absolutely, and I completely agree. If it wasn't for lab testing, we wouldn't know how many milligrams of CBD or THC or CBN or whatever cannabinoid we are putting in our sun. And that makes a huge difference in the research of this product and of cannabis in general. We need to know this. We need to know what successfully treats a disorder and how many cannabinoids and which cannabinoid and the, you know, what they have, their disorder, to be able to treat successfully. And without the standards of a testing facility, we're not going to have that. And it's really important for even our next generations. And everybody, you know, talks about, you know, our grandkids and how we're going to change the future for them and things like that. And I hope so. I want that to happen. But I also want it now. I want testing now. I want testing to be legitimate and standardized now. So I can take Fulton's Medicine to any type of cannabis testing facility and get the same profile every single time. And I think it's really, really important in this journey that we're on is to really focus on testing and making sure that it is right. So I
absolutely. And it should even take a step further to not only, you know, have a test that has integrity, but also for you to be able to acquire compounds of cannabinoids, specific compounds of cannabinoids that would be known to treat Crohn's or known to treat traumatic brain injury or known to treat hair loss, anything. but we need these labs to be able to fractionally distill and isolate cannabinoids, compound them, research them, and we need those tests to have integrity, and we need to have close studies on different compounds of cannabinoids to actually help people with these, you know, these wonderful things that are cannabinoids.
Exactly. I thankful for my son's caregiver who does have his medicine tested because I know how much is going into my son. And I think just everybody needs to understand what they're putting in their body, regardless of what it is. And even though cannabis is non-toxic and nobody's ever died from it, I don't want my son being high. I want him being healthy. And I know how much, because of the lab test, I know how much he can take before he gets that way. And I think that's really important. And
absolutely.
This is a great thing to have done. We do need standardized testing. Just to show the world that we're not a bunch of crazy people. It legitimizes the cannabis industry. And says, you know, we're not joking around here. This is true stuff. This helps PTSD. This helps Crohn's disease. This helps seizures. And we know which cannabinoid and why and how much you need to an extent. You know, even though I believe that a cannabis plant has different DNA across the board, just like a person does. And I may need 15 cannabinoids and you may need 10, but at least we have a general idea of how this medicine works and why and what it can work for. So I really believe in testing. I think it's really, really important. So we're going to change gears a little bit here, and I want you to talk about the Cannaball Run and why you got involved with Weed for Warriors Project.
Well, the Cannonball Run is, is a event that Magical Butter throws on every year. I think this is the second annual one. And when before I became involved in the project, I believe that Garen Angel from Magical Butter, he's the CEO and a really nice guy.
Super nice. We love Garen. Shout out to Garen.
Yeah, I believe Garen approached the Weed for Warriors project leadership and said, "Hey, let's do this together. You're doing a tour. We do the Cannonball Run. Let's come together." And you know, they staged some events in different cities across the country. I mean, we've got really cool things coming up. The Medicated Cook-Off, I'm excited to see how that turns out. That sounds really fun. And then, we're doing the opening ceremony for the Southwest Cannabis Conference in Phoenix, Arizona, which is the largest cannabis conference in Arizona history. And there's just a lot of, you know, really, really attractive sponsors from all over the country there. And I think it's going to be a great chance for the vets to, you know, get some exposure and shed some light on this veteran suicide epidemic and the over-medication of the vets. And then from there, they go to Nashville, from Nashville to, Charlottesville. They go to Hemp Inc. at North Carolina. Shout out to Hemp Inc. Bruce Perlowin was pivotal in getting the tour off the ground. These guys had a horrible time with fundraisers. It just felt like nobody wanted to help them. And then Bruce came in at the last minute with a sizable donation that made everything possible. So we really are happy for him, and we're honored that he's allowing us to tour the largest hemp processing facility in America out in North Carolina, I'm sorry.
Okay.
And then
yeah.
From there they go into Philadelphia, and then that brings us into Washington, D.C., where we're hoping to have all the veterans come up. But, I think it's going to be amazing. I'm so excited for it.
I am too. I'm not even a veteran, and I'm so excited for it. I think this is just something awesome that Magical Butter and Garen has put on, and we've been the Weed for Warrior Project. It's touching to see so many people that are not veterans come out and support our veterans, and they do so much.
Oh yeah, and then the fact that, you know, we're documenting the entire tour, and I chose a very proven production company in Royal Studios out in Los Angeles to do the documentary about the Weed for Warriors, this tour, and you know, it's not just some small low budget doc. These guys are actually gonna, you know, be shopped to networks. I'm sure we'll, you know, cut a docuseries out of it and put it on network TV, and then, you know, really spread the message further than just the tour. I've been telling these guys, you know, in the build up to the tour, it's not what we're doing. People are going to see what we did, you know, because we're gonna show a lot of people on the tour what we're doing. But when this doc is released, we're going to show millions of people all over the world what we did. And
exactly.
I think it'll live forever.
I hope it does. I've always said, you know, we go to these cannabis summits and Colton speaks at these things, and we see the same people over and over and over again. And I've said a million times, I love you. I love you all in the cannabis industry, but I am tired of telling you my story. I'm tired of preaching to the choir. I want the 90% of people not using cannabis and doesn't understand what cannabis is to understand our stories, to understand our plight, to understand the pain and agony that we've gone through to get here. And
absolutely.
These are perfect and a perfect example of why we need cannabis in our life and why they need to support cannabis. They gave their lives for us and our freedom. And what do we do to repay them but have them come back home to fight for their freedom again? That's not
when I was pitching this documentary, and people, when you're building a documentary, everybody asks you, you know, what's the concept and how to storyboard it and all that. What I wanted to do, what I would tell everybody is, I want to grab that 75-year-old guy in South Carolina who's patriotic and hates weed but loves vets and loves his country, and I want him to watch this film, and at the end of that film, I want to change his mind. You know, I have grandparents that live in Arizona, and they don't exactly agree with what I've chosen to do with my life, and it's because they're from that generation that just doesn't understand that they've been lied to about a plant. And I'm actually really honored that they're going to be coming out to a cannabis conference to hang out with me and the vets, and I want to change their mind with this documentary. I want to change a lot of people's minds, and I think we're going to be able to, because these guys aren't trying to just get high. They're not trying to just have a good time. They're trying to treat their ailments, and they're trying to live, and the only options that are presented to them right now by Veteran Affairs are turning them into zombies, they are turning them into addicts, and they're driving them to eventually kill themselves. And the veteran suicide epidemic has been, you know, a blindfold over America. I mean, nobody knows how many of these guys are offing themselves every day, and it's disgusting, it's wrong, and we need to wake up.
Absolutely. We need to save these guys. Look what they've done for us. And let them live good lives. You know, they went to war. The things that they've seen, you know, I've talked to many veterans, and I have a hard time listening because I just want to cry. Because they're what they've gone through is just torture, and it's not fair. It's not fair because then they come back home and have to go through that every single day again in their minds, and they just want some relief. And cannabis has given them that. And why am I, a normal layman person, to say that they can't have that? Why?
Absolutely.
Why do you do that? You know, it's not
there's a veteran in particular that I've met on this tour that stands out the most to me, and his name is Jose Martinez. This kid stepped on an IED meant for a vehicle over in Afghanistan. He blew off both his legs, one of his arms. He's missing fingers. He is just an inspiration because this guy's a hip disarticulate, and he walked 4.2 miles. You know, these people aren't even supposed to stand up. He walked 4.2 miles to open this up. He medicates with nothing but cannabis for pain, for anger management, for all his, you know, really serious injuries, and I just can't imagine how some guy in a suit sitting in a chair in Congress can look at this young man who gave, you know, half of his body for them to have the right to sit in that damn chair and tell him, hey, you know what, you can't medicate with cannabis because it offends me or it bothers me or it hurts my kids or whatever the hell it does. It's just wrong, and I challenge anyone to look him in the face and tell him he can't after what he's given for this country.
Absolutely, and I completely agree with you. until he's walked in his shoes, what gives him the right to say that he cannot medicate with a non-toxic, non-side effect type of medication? I mean, what's he going to get? You know, a little high, a little euphoria? Euphoria is so bad? Come on. This is it's 2015. We need to grow up a little bit and open our minds. And I appreciate your friend's journey, and I thank him for his service, and I thank you for your time today. I could talk to you forever. Thank you so much. I need to close it down now, but I did want to give a shout out to the Cannonball Run and Magical Butter and the Weeds for Warrior Project. They're doing amazing things out there. I just want to reiterate that an estimated 22 veterans a day, or 8,000 annually, commit suicide as a result of war trauma, up from a low of 18 per year in 2007, according to a 2012 VA suicide data report. Just like the dog tag that Susisley gave my son the other day, that's 22 too many. We need to do something about this epidemic, and we need to do it now. So I thank you, Doc, for your time. Thank you, Sean, for your time. Thank you all veterans out there for serving our country and putting your life on the line for our freedoms and for our rights. And now it's time for us to put our life on the line for your freedoms and your rights. So I'm Wendy Turner, signing out for Millennium Grown Broadcast Network. We will see you guys all on October 24th at the Cannonball Run Infused Cook-Off. Go to their Facebook page and look them up. Thanks so much, and we'll see you soon.